Well, praise the Lord, huh? Amen. Good to see all of you today. Great to be here, and looking forward to bringing you the word this morning. And great to look out here and see all these new faces and visitors from all over the world. Praise God. We're just excited. We're really excited about what the Lord is doing here, and I just truly pray that your time of worship this morning has already been blessed and is just getting ready to get better. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. The message God has given me today is really something else. It makes us think, hopefully make us shout and get excited. And just, you know, I'm always searching for what will give us vision. Always what will give us the insight of what God is trying to tell us to be prepared for. Because as this year began and as the things are stirring around our world, I just really feel a presence on my heart, on my spirit, that the Lord is saying, be prepared, and urgency. It's all coming together because we just see a lot of things going on. So today, the message the Lord has given me is peace is coming. Peace is coming. I generally try to start with something a little humorous, and I found this week. Actually, someone sent it to me, and this is both humorous on one side, but it's also very thought-provoking on another. So I want you to get that as I read this. Said a young couple moved into a neighborhood, and they were there and getting all moved into their house and what have you. And the next morning they got up and they were eating breakfast, and the young wife of the couple, she was looking out the window, and she saw her neighbor hanging her laundry out on a laundry line. We don't see a lot of that today, but that's what she noticed. She said, well, you know, that laundry's not even clean, she whispered to her husband. She said, it looks terrible. And why would she be hanging it out? She must not know how to wash clothes correctly. Maybe she needs to use some better soap, or maybe she needs a better washing machine. But every time, this would continue on daily. And the husband began to listen as the wife continued to bash the neighbor on how they did their laundry. And she was like, man, she just don't know how to wash clothes. And she kept on. Well, about a month went by of this. Every morning, my husband had gotten kind of tired of hearing it. And she woke up and she looked out the window. She says, wow, she must have finally got it. She finally learned how to wash clothes. Man, they're so nice and clean. I never seen anything look so nice. I wonder who taught her this. And the husband said, nobody did. I got up this morning and washed the window. But there's the funny side. Now listen to this. And so it is with life. What we see when watching others depends on the purity of the window we're looking out of. You heard Brother Bell say when he was here, the windows of the soul. What are we looking out? What are we looking out? Praise the Lord. We have two different passages of Scripture I'll be building this sermon out of this morning. The first comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And the Word of God says this, but concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, be ready. You know the truth. I've told you. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify or lift up one another, just as you also are doing. Those are exciting words. Now flip over with me, if you will, to the book of Micah. If we look in chapter 4, in the first 5 verses here, we see something else very, very powerful. It says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Peace is coming." Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We thank you for the words that you've given, Lord. We thank you for our time together in our early service. We thank you for the teachings, Lord, that went on during the Sunday school hour. Now we thank you, Lord, for the praise we've given you. And we thank you for the power, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, over darkness, over the evils of this world, and over the rulers, Lord, and over Satan himself. Lord, I just pray today that this message would speak so clear and, Lord, just so direct to each of our hearts, that we, Lord, would have hope and see, Lord, that indeed peace is on the way. Thank you for what you are going to do. May this day be blessed. In Christ's name, amen. Here we are in the midst of July. We're coming off the heels, if you will, of Independence Day, where liberty and freedom and patriotism and all that other stuff is looked at and celebrated. These things that set, at least for now, our country apart from all those around the world. These things, of course, come at a great price. You know, we know that they're not just handed to you. I mean, of course, we know the price that paid for all was, of course, Jesus. And here we have those that have fought and paid for different things. Liberty certainly has come over different times and through the years. Liberty can come in many different ways. It's certainly come by throwing over tyrants and getting them out of the way. And somewhere that has caused the oppression of people, they've been removed. We see freedom here and other places that have been bought by the blood of soldiers who would be willing to fight and even die that others could be free. It would seem, as you study through history, you know, of course, we began this country under war, if you will, and, you know, that has continued on, and times there's been wars and fighting. It would seem that after thousands of years of conflict and battles and uprisings, that people would have changed and that they would realize it's time to stop all that. But the world today is still armed. The world today can be and very often is a very dangerous place. We see the constant political battles. We see greed and power that fuel egos of leaders. And one would wonder, one could even ask the question, when will the world find peace? Will it come? When will it come to an end and life be normal for a change? Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, 6 and 7. He said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass." He said, these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. My friends, the battles continue. They keep going. The threats continue. The unrest continues. Peace is the cry of the earth today. It has been the passion of many for so long. It has been the passion that has started movements. It has started eras, if you will, in our history. Peace is a true desire for most. But the wars continue. The fightings continue. Whether it's on a grand scale like the wars that have raged for the last 10 years overseas in the Middle East, on the smaller scales in some third world country that we've never heard of, and you have some tyrannical ruler that is there that is leading movements to maintain his position at any cost, even the cost of lives. The cry for peace continues in the midst of the battle. Why does it never seem to end? Every day is filled with reports of conflicts and problems and issues and this and that all over the world. Why is that? The book of James gives us a very clear indication on that answer. It says in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war within your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now that is a powerful, powerful statement there, my friends. It says very clearly what the problem is today. "Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Lust for power, lust for prosperity, lust for property, lust for things, lust for this, lust for that. We see this running rampant all around our world, right here in our own nation. Never enough. More, more, more. It just seems like it just pours and pours and pours. Never in our history have we seen greed and selfishness at the highs that we see today. And unfortunately, the casualties of that war are the regular working class people like me and you. That's the casualties in this particular war. The desire to control, and we see a lot of that today, the desire to control everything, what you say, what you do, what you wear, where you go, it keeps the war going. It keeps the war going. But what is James right here? He says, "Do you not know that a friendship with the world is enmity or separation with God?" He says, "Do you not know that? Have I not told you that already, that you can't do it both ways?" He says, "Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now think about how powerful that particular word is. Who would want to be an enemy of God? You can't win that fight. You know, this is God we're speaking of here. Jesus taught, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Now think about that. Here we see fights for greed, fights for power. Oh, I want to be in charge of this. I want to run that. I want to tell this group what to do. All this other stuff. All we see is just keeping the battle raging. Peace is stifled all over things that will not last, all over the temporary. People hurt each other. They say the cruelest things. They allow greed to guide their minds. All for what? Nothing that will ever last. Nothing that will ever bring peace to their life. Nothing that will ever gain them favor in the eyes of God. That keeps people separated and on opposite sides of the field every day and all the time. Again, who wants to be known as an enemy of God? Nobody in their right mind. There is coming a time that peace is going to be spoken of a lot more. We're going to hear about it a lot more. In fact, today we even hear talks of peace treaties and brokerings, if you will, of peace between this nation and that nation. All kinds of different things. Today in our original text in verse 3, it says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." For those who at that time, and for those even today, who are not following the Word of God, who are not living as the Word of God says that we are today, they're going to believe, and some even believe they have found peace. Man, I made it. I got it. You know, I'm on the top of the mountain. I finally made it. Or so it seems. Jesus says, "I give unto you unlike the world." The world, my friends, only gives that which is temporary. And it is also very deceiving. You know, have you ever been in one of these places? Maybe you have or haven't, but they have these underground caverns in different places. You can go in and look. Sometimes you walk through there and sometimes they're filled with a lake, like an entire lake. And it looks unbelievable. And it's only 3 inches deep. It's absolutely unbelievable. You look at it and you think it was the ocean. And it's there. Deceiving. Things aren't always as they seem. Today the world gives us those things that are temporary, but those that are living according to the will of God, those that are listening to what He says, what does the Word tell us? Well, it says here in the opening text that we read today, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." You know, I preached on coming out of the darkness this morning, and this is not a continuation of that, but it's certainly God's theme for today. He says, "You know the truth. I have let you out of it." He said, you know, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not be in the darkness. If you follow me." Here he says, "You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief," speaking of the day of the Lord. In other words, when Jesus said he's coming back and it's going to be like a thief in the night, and he would teach, you know, what thief calls ahead and lets you know. You know, think about that. I worked on the road for 12 years. I never saw a burglary ever that people were notified of. I mean, ever. It just didn't happen. "Hey, man, I'm going to come out and pick up a few things later." Doesn't work that way. You know, here he said, "You should not be overtaken by that. You ought to know it's coming because I told you it was going to come. Don't you trust what I told you? You are all," meaning those of Christ, "are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober." Be aware of what's going on around you. Pay attention. Put on the breastplate of faith. Believe in what he says and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Trust in what I've for you. Believe in what I've told you. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Man, I get excited about that. He said he didn't, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Have mercy. That ought to make somebody get excited, because that is a promise from God right there. Now is the day. Now is the day to watch. Now is the time to be mindful and pay attention to what it is that he said. Now is the day to pray. Now is the day to get excited. Now is the days to keep looking up, because peace is coming. And I'm telling you, we need to get excited, more excited. The church needs, we talked about this song this morning that was kind of explained about being on fire. The church needs to be on fire. The Bible says clearly not to quench the spirit. When you quench something, you put it out, right? You put it out. We don't need to do that. We are not bound by darkness anymore. If you've come to know Christ, you're not bound by darkness. We can see the things in front of us. We can recognize the things going on around us. We must realize what is happening. We must realize the time that the Lord spoke of is getting close. And it's drawing nearer every single day. Again, we go back to what was read in the book of Micah. And it says again, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Now you see the pattern there? Shall. He said, it's going to happen. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. It's going to happen. He says, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and they shall spear and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Don't that sound like a wonderful time? Don't that sound incredible? For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. It's kind of like when they ask him, who tells me that I go? I am. You just don't need to say anything else beyond that. He said, the Lord has spoken. For all the people walk each in the name of his God, but we, as believers, those of us who have accepted Christ, we will walk in the name of the Lord of our God forever and ever. My friends, peace is coming. The religious wars will end. It will no longer be a battle as to who God is. There will be no more question as to who God is. Absolutely never again. No longer will there be divisions as to which group is right. It will be settled. Because the Lord will say so. The political conflicts will cease. There will be no more struggles for power. There will be no more tyrants, no more dictators, no more oppressive rule, no more change, praise God. Jesus will be in charge. That's what's coming. And things will be done right. And they will be done right forever. There will be no more injustice. Nobody will ever be done wrong again. Even nature will be at peace. The Bible tells us here in the book of Isaiah in chapter 11, it says, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the fox, and the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Boy, that's amazing, because not one of those things calculate in our mind today. You know, the wolf doesn't lay down with the lamb, you know, and the child certainly doesn't play with snakes, you know, none of those things. A writer use those very words to write the wonderful, wonderful song, Peace in the Valley. You know, that's where it came from. All separation will end. The Bible says so. Between one another, between us and the animals and nature, between man and God, we will be at peace. The earth will again produce abundantly. There will be no more thorns and no more thistles and no more weeds that hinder. Isaiah 11 and 9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. One day, violence will end. One day, it will be over. A time when people no longer hurt each other with actions or words, when people are no longer filled with greed and schemes and hateful ways. We ought to get excited about that. We ought to get excited about that because it is not a fantasy. It is not some crazy dream that somebody came up with. It did not come from the pen of a Hollywood scriptwriter. My friends, God promised it was going to happen. Peace is coming, and His name is Jesus. And I can't wait. No more treaties. There will be no more peace talks. There will be no stalemates that will come about that could be created by man, because they will all fail. They will all fail. And during the time of the tribulation, and speaking of latter days, there will be 3.5 years and when people will be convinced, those that have been left behind after the rapture, that they had peace. Because the false Christ, the Antichrist, if you will, is going to tell them, oh man, you know, everything is good. Everything's settled down. Everything's good. They're going to have 3.5 years of what the Bible says they think is peace. But just as it is now, it will be deception. And it will be broken. And all kinds of hell that has never been known or seen before will come to this earth. But once again, peace will be sought. Peace will be looking. They'll be thinking, where did it go? Man, I thought we had it. I mean, we finally made it. We had it. Everything was great. And now it's all messed up again. Because it's another lie from Satan. That's what he's all about, friends. Everything that's going on in our world today, let me tell you, it's not a coincidence. You know, he is the ruler of the darkness of this age. When you are in darkness, what troubles do you have? You can't see. You have to feel your way around. And hopefully you don't stumble or fall. You know, you have to just keep hoping. But when you can see, you know what's going on. The Bible says that I give you light that you might see. As believers, this passage today from 1 Thessalonians tells us very, very clearly that we are sons of light. It says we are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. We shouldn't be fooled by these things. We can see what is going on. We can know what is happening on around us. And we should feel within our spirits as we trust in what the Word of God says, peace is on the way. And he's coming quick. During this time, when everything is upheavaled and going all to pieces again, there will be many who have come to know Christ. The Bible says so. So they can't even be numbered. There'd be so many. They're going to know that peace is on the way. Because he's going to give them that same promise as well. At the end of that period called the Great Tribulation, Jesus will return physically to this earth with his saints who have gone before. He is righteous and he is fair. He will rebuke the wicked. The Bible is very clear about that. Those who have hurt, those who have deceived, those who have killed in order to gain their place, those who persecuted his people for seeking the truth. The truth is trying to be stopped today, my friends. Why? Because Jesus made it clear, the truth will set you free. The devil don't want anybody to be free. He wants us to be bound. Jesus will rebuke and take care of all of that. But he will also reward those that were faithful. He will reward those who trusted in his word. He will end war once and for all. Again, we look in the book of Isaiah. And the Bible is very clear in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, we see words like will, shall. There's no doubt in here. There's no gray area. He says clearly what is going to happen. Clearly what is going to happen. Again, we see these words, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That is a promise from God. Peace is coming. We can get excited about that. One day, life as we know it will change. It will. And it will be for the better. It will be for the better. It will happen. Now you may think, you may even be wondering right now, Pastor, what are you talking about? What about now? What about right now? Things are bad. You know, I'm surrounded by all this bad and all this stuff and all this negative things and all this doubt and worry. Things are bad. What do I do? The Bible says we can have peace right now. We can have peace right now. What does it say? It tells us here clearly, you may not have peace in the world. You can't stop every conflict and everything that's going on and every injustice and this and that. But I can have peace within. The Bible tells us very clearly in Romans 5 and 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want peace today? Make things right with God. You can't stop none of the other stuff going on around the world, you know, but you can have peace with God. We can find peace when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and begin that relationship with Him. He'll change your life. Now you want to think, well, I don't know, but I'm telling you today, if you come to know the Lord, if you come to have that peace with Him, you will not. In fact, you cannot see things the same way anymore, because He changes the way you see things. He changes you from within. The Bible says you become a new creation, a new person. You know, when we see what is being said here, He tells us things will get better. You got to trust me on that. He tells us in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's another big word for worry. He says, don't do that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now think about that. Think about what He's just saying there. He says, stop all that needless worrying. Trust in me. I will show you the right way. I will bring peace to your life. Because if we will fully do that, if we will fully surrender our hearts and our minds to Him, if we will accept His promises and live daily, and I mean every single day, in the light of His return, there will be peace in our lives. Because we know that hope is on the way. We know that we're not hopeless anymore. We know that we're not bound by those things that keep telling me, oh, it can't get any better. Oh, it's horrible. That's the world telling you that. Jesus tells you just the opposite. He tells you the truth. And the truth can make you free if you will just embrace it. If you today are not sure where you are with Him, if you don't have that peace in your life that I speak of, today's the day. Don't let that pass. During our time of invitation this morning, I really just feel an impression upon my heart that we really need to understand that today needs to be my day, whoever you are. If you said a prayer years ago, or maybe when you were a kid, asked the Lord to come into your life, then as time went by, you saw the need to just tuck Him away over on a shelf. Say, I'll go by there when I need something. You know? How many times have we done that? You know, maybe it's a book, or maybe it's a whatever, you know, a picture album, anything. You know? And it's our tool. And we just tuck it away on a shelf. And we say, well, when I need it, then I'll go get it. We do it all the time. Many times, if you search through that shelf, you'll find God on there too. Because we've put Him there. Because, well, I'm going to take care of it 99% of the time, but when everything comes against me and when everything goes upside down and I don't know what else to do and everything has failed me and all my friends have lied to me and everybody's let me down, when all else fails, then I'll go get Him. It should be just the opposite. He should always come first. Because He said, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be there with you through it all. You know, we need to understand, if He is on the shelf today, get Him down. Dust Him off and start that relationship that will change your life forever. Because that's what He wants to do. And it says here, and it teaches this, that of His peace there is no end. There is no end. My friends, peace is coming. And He is coming quicker than anybody ever would believe. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Because there is peace. Oh, there is sweet peace. If you don't have that place in your life today, If you've never even asked the Lord to come into your life, or maybe you did a long time ago and your life is just turmoil and hectic and everything is going to pieces, make it right today. Tell Him, Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want the peace that You said I could have. And I believe in what You've given. I believe in what's going to happen. I trust it. And I'm telling you, friends, I mean, I'm not a gloom and doom pastor. I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't want to scare anybody. I just want to tell you the truth. The Bible says it's going to happen. He says will. He said it shall. He never says maybe. God never says maybe. You know? Think about it. When we were growing up, we asked our parents about it. Well, maybe we'll get to do that. Or we'll try to do this. God never does that. He says, this will happen. I'm going to do this. You know, many times throughout history, people tested God. Didn't always work out so good. When He said, if you don't do this, this will happen. This shall come to pass. And it did. He says, one day, He's going to step out on the clouds of glory. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they who are alive and remain will be drawn up to the clouds together with them to be with the Lord forever. Whew. You know, I'm ready. It could be right now, friends. We could blow the roof off this building. It'd be okay with me. You know, it'd be. I'm telling you, I'm so excited. I told you before, a friend of mine in Lancaster, South Carolina, used to make his church stand up every Sunday morning and do this. And they'd say, Pastor White said, it's rapture drill, brother. We're getting ready. I mean, you know, we're getting ready. I'm telling you, peace is coming. And it won't be in the form of a piece of paper signed by anybody. It won't be because two sides decided to get along. I saw this morning on the headlines of the news, it said that because the gangs in California, two major gangs in California, had decided to call it a truce and quit killing one another, that peace had come. And now the murder rate was going down. No. It'll just pick back up somewhere else. I'm not being negative. I'm just being honest with you. The only time peace will come to this world is when Jesus comes back. And He says, I'm on the way. We need to be ready for that. We need to be mindful of that. You know, we asked you last week to get these little cards and invite somebody. I pray that some of you did. I'm asking, there's more back there today. Do it again. Bring people. If you care about people, not because of anything that I do that is great, not because of our music, not because of any other reason, then people need to sit under the Word of God. They need to hear the truth. And I'm not talking bad about nobody, but I'm telling you right now, under the authority of God and what I believe, if you come here, you will hear the truth. I can't say that for everywhere else, but I know you'll hear it here. Because I'm going to stand before God one day, give an account for what I have said, and I do everything in my power to share the truth of God's Word with you. I never intend for that to be offensive or hurtful, but if it's thus saith the Lord, then it's going to be thus saith Pastor Andy. I can promise you that. I promise you that. Think about it, my friends. Our motto is changing hearts, changing lives, one soul at a time. We know a lot of people in our lives that are not at peace. We know a heap of them. Whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's co-workers, they need what Jesus offers. Let's give it to them in the grandest of fashions. Pray with me. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for this opportunity to have